Our scripture reading comes from Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to begin reading in verse 4 and read through verse 6. We've already covered verse 4, but so that we can get the thought and see the context, we'll go back and read again verse 4, and our discussion will actually be about verses 5 and 6. So let's go back to verse 4 and begin reading there and read through verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 8. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Jesus is the great high priest. All of these Old Testament Levitical priests led up to Jesus. He is the ultimate high priest. And since Jesus is the high priest, he is a priest like them in some ways, but unlike them in other ways. And he is a better priest. He is a perfect priest. One of the themes in this book of Hebrews is that the Old Testament system of religion was the type. It foreshadowed or represented beforehand the things that we read about in the New Testament. So the Old Testament is the shadow, the New Testament is the completion. And that's why we see these words in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Notice very carefully some words that you're going to see again in this book. And this again is one of the central ideas in this book. In verse 5 of Hebrews 8, he said that these Old Testament Levitical priests serve unto the example, that is, they serve as an example and as the shadow of heavenly things. Now, the heavenly things are the spiritual fulfillment of those types and those shadows. In other words, the church, Jesus Christ being our high priest, Jesus' sacrifice, and so forth. Those are the heavenly things that he's talking about. And the two words that he uses about the Old Testament types of these New Testament fulfillments are the words example and shadow. The word example is a word that means a sign suggestive of anything. It means the delineation of a thing. It means a representation, a figure, a copy. You'll see this word again used in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23, and there it's translated patterns. Notice in Hebrews 9, verse 23, that he said, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So the patterns refers to the Old Testament types, the Old Testament rituals and observances. The heavenly things refers to what we find being fulfilled in the New Testament church. And many times when we look at the word example, we think of an example to learn from, like a lesson or an illustration. And sometimes the idea of an example has that kind of meaning in the Bible. But here, the idea of an example is more than just something to look at like a story and learn from it. It is a pattern. It is a figure. It is a copy that represents something that is going to come in the future. The second word that he uses is the word shadow. He'll use that again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, where he says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. Now, that says it in a nutshell. What do we find in the Old Testament? What did the old law, the law of Moses, contain? Well, it contained a shadow of things to come. So all of those observances, all of those rituals, all of those things that you find in the Old Testament pointed toward the New Testament. You find this word shadow in Colossians chapter 2. And I wanted to read Colossians chapter 2 beginning in verse 14 because this is a good commentary on what he's saying about the law being a shadow. In Colossians chapter 2 verse 14, he says that when Jesus died, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That refers to Jesus putting an end to the law of Moses when he died on the cross. Notice very carefully what he says right after this in Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17. He says, "Let no man therefore, in light of the fact that Jesus nailed the law to the cross, don't let anybody judge you. That is, don't let anyone condemn you in meat or in drink." That means in regard to meat or meal offerings or drink offerings prescribed by the law. Don't let anybody judge you or condemn you in respect of an holy day. A holy day was an annual feast day of the Jews. Don't let anybody judge you about the new moon. The new moon was a monthly celebration or a monthly observance. And then he says, don't let anybody judge you in regard to the weekly observance of the Sabbath, Sabbaths or Sabbath days. Because, he says in verse 17, which are a shadow. All these things that he's talked about in verse 16, the meat offerings, the drink offerings, the holy days, the new moon celebrations, and the Sabbath day, all of those things were a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. So when we get over to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, we find the same word, that these Old Testament observances were a shadow of heavenly things. So what were all of these rituals back in the Old Testament? They were copies. They were figures. They were representations or shadows. That means that they were temporary. They were never intended to last forever. They were never intended to last and to be for all times. And it also means, as he shows in these verses that follow, that the Old Testament rituals were inferior. The New Testament is better than the Old Testament. The New Testament way or the New Testament system is better than the Old Testament system. Remember, he's exhorting these Jewish Christians not to give up the New Testament church, which is better, for a system that was inferior. Now, we look at this today and say, well, we're not Jewish Christians, so what does this have to do with people today? Well, just think of how many people today go back to the Old Testament for their religion. Some people insist today that we must keep the Sabbath law today, that we are to observe the Sabbath. Well, that's going back to this shadow. That's going back to the copy. That's going back to an inferior system. There are others who argue that someday the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem and God will reenact this old law with all of its sacrifices and all of its rituals. Well, this is the same law that Jesus died to put an end to it. Jesus nailed that law to the cross, and the Bible says that law, with all of its sacrifices and with all of its rituals, was a shadow. God never intended for that law to be permanent for all times, much less for all people. And in verse 5, we have a great illustration from the Old Testament. God told Moses to build the tabernacle. That tabernacle was a special tent for worship. God told Moses how long to make that tabernacle, how wide to make it. He told him the materials to use for the covering. He told him what kind of wood to use for the boards. He told him how to build the furniture and the vessels. He told Moses how to set it up and who was to set it up, how to take it down and who was to touch it and who was not to touch it, who could go in and who could not. Moses was to build the tabernacle like God said to build it. Moses was not to build it any way that he thought. God gave him a pattern. And God said, you make all things according to the pattern showed to you in the mount. God gave him instructions like a blueprint. And Moses did exactly like God said. He built that tabernacle according to the specifications that God gave, just like Noah built the ark exactly like God told him to build it. Here's a question. What if Moses had decided to change the instructions? What if Moses had followed God's pattern or God's blueprint 90% of the time, but 10% of the time he did what he wanted to do? What if he said, I'll use the materials for the covering that God mentioned, but I'm going to use a different kind of wood for the boards. Or I'm going to make it a little bit longer than what God said. Would God have been pleased with Moses? No. Moses would have done wrong, wouldn't he? Well, here's a further question then. If God expected Moses to follow the pattern for building the tabernacle, how much more does he expect us to follow his instructions about the church? Because he shows us that the church is the true tabernacle today. The Old Testament tabernacle was just a representation of the church that Jesus died to build. The church is greater. So consider, for instance, what God says about this true tabernacle, the church. If Moses was to build the tabernacle according to the pattern that God gave him, doesn't it make sense that we are to follow the instructions that God gives us about the true tabernacle, the church? For instance, in becoming a member of the church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 47, that the people were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And those that were baptized for the remission of their sins were added to the church. So these people were saved, and on the basis of their salvation, they were added to, placed in the church. There was no voting to see if they could become members of the church. There were no infants or babies who were put into the church. So if we're going to follow God's pattern, if we're going to follow God's instructions about the true tabernacle, the church, then we need to follow what the Bible says about becoming a member. Here's another example, and that is how to govern the congregation, because decisions have to be made. Well, the Bible tells us that in the New Testament, elders were ordained in every church or every congregation, Acts 14, verse 23. And those elders have to meet qualifications. 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 13. This is God's plan. This is God's pattern for the church, and we're not to change it. Consider the worship of the church. The Bible says the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread, Acts 20, verse 7. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul said that on the first day of the week, we are to give into the collection. So we are to assemble together on the first day of the week as a congregation to worship God. So was it a serious thing for Moses to build the tabernacle exactly like God said to build it? Yes, it was. And I think that most Bible readers would agree with that today. Well, then, if that tabernacle was just a copy, if it was just a foreshadow of the true tabernacle, the greater institution, which is the church, then it is a far more serious thing when people change the instructions that God has given about his church. And this is one of the warnings that we find throughout the New Testament, and especially here in the book of Hebrews. And in the next lesson, we're going to go into detail in the verses that follow to talk about why the New Testament is much better than the Old Testament.